I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker. Into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown.
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. The Bills win it in overtime.
All right, this is how we start. Welcome to the show, Tuesday. Tuesday, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, right next door to New Era Field, where there's a brand new carpet down, and we're getting set for football. You know, there's going to be a football game played in that place, 3 weeks from Thursday, right? 3 weeks and 2 days away, August 8th. Bills and the Indianapolis Colts, preseason football coming 3 weeks away, right on that turf. Hello there, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm John Murphy. This is Team Tasker. We're here with you until 3 o'clock. Happy to have you with us here, whether you're joining us on the video side and you just saw that beautiful picture of the inside of the stadium on MSG, or maybe you're tuned in on the radio on our flagship here in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550. Either way, happy to have you on this beautiful summer day in Western New York. It really is summertime. Feels like summertime, and you and I are still, even though we're back at work, still kind of enjoying the best of it here. It's been great out here.
And by the way, happy, I can't say it with a straight face, 716 day.
Why can't you say that with a straight face?
I just can't. 7-1, it's, you know, July 16th, 716 day.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I got it. So that came up. We have a morning meeting, a content meeting, 9:45 every day. Steve makes it half the time, and we're there this morning. I'm just kidding. But somebody had the presence of mind to say, yeah, 716 day, and they're talking about all the plans and everything. And somebody said, yeah, I think this is the third or fourth 716 day. And I thought,
yeah.
It's been July 16th going on for a long time.
For a while.
This is like the millionth 716 day.
It's all right, though. I don't mind if we claim it.
We can have it, yeah.
We're going to claim
what
it.
What does it mean? What does it mean?
716? Well, you know how it is. 716 is the area code.
Oh, yeah, I know that. I knew
that's
that.
Why it's
but what does it mean?
716.
What does 716 signify?
July 16th, 716.
I get that, too.
All things 716 belong to us now.
And what is it? A celebration? We're supposed to... Okay. I get it.
It's civic pride, Murph.
Okay.
It's a community
thing.
I'm not
against that at all.
Be a team player, man. Jump on the 716
team
train.
Team or not.
The 716
train. What does it signify?
Train.
What does it mean? Pat yourself on the back for living in Buffalo. What'd you say, Jay?
Celebrate our town.
Did Jay just say, let's move on?
No, he didn't.
I think he did.
We're listening.
We're listening to our producer.
It is.
It is a good thing.
It is a good thing.
Yeah,
716 days. I do like it.
Pat on the back. You're living in 716.
Hey, you celebrate it. It's kind of neat because not everybody gets a day like that.
They don't have that in Rochester. There's no such thing. I guess... No, there can't be a 585 day.
Right. See? Right. Some people are out. They don't get this, you know, this free. Well,
what's New York? 212?
I'll really celebrate it when we get it off. Right?
You think in New York, falls on a weekend. February 12th every year, they celebrate February 12th?
The 212?
Yeah. Probably not. I'm just saying.
They don't get it. There's no civic pride
in
New York.
So it's the fourth or fifth annual 716 day. All those
only
July.
Buffalo.
16th that came before this don't matter, apparently, but we're happy to celebrate it with you. Welcome to the show. Happy to talk about 716 day. We're eating up the summer because it's coming to an end soon. We had meetings today about training camp coverage. We look forward to that. What did we figure out today? 8 shows at training camp?
That's all?
That's
right.
That'll be over before we know it.
Yeah. Next Thursday, Friday.
Yep. And then the following week, 3 days. And then the following week after that, 3 days. 8 total days. You were kind of celebrating how much fun we had doing camp last year, and let me tell you, we'll get going and we'll get into the routine, and you know it, it'll be over. Steve, second to last day of camp. Steve, last day of camp.
I know, and the thing about it too is this year is different for you and I in a big way, because after those first, you know, 2 full weeks of camp up through August 7th, then we're going to go and we're going to do the show from Carolina.
Spartanburg, South Carolina.
I got to write Spartanburg down. I cannot
Wofford
remember.
College.
Spartanburg.
Two shows. It'll be August 13th and August 14th in Spartanburg.
Isn't it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Thursday, Friday, we're in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, I see.
Because the Bills move on to play the Panthers.
They're all the same thing to me, though. They're all
I think you'll see a bit of a difference.
Oh, yeah. Spartanburg and Charlotte.
Charlotte's
yeah.
a major city.
That's true.
Spartanburg is a college town, a beautiful college town. Everybody I ever talked to, I was talking to my cousin a couple of weeks ago who lives in Charlotte, and I said Spartanburg, and he's like, oh, I'm not going there. Why? Oh, it's an hour and a half away, and it's too hot. Well, everybody you talk to about Spartanburg talks about the heat, the midsummer heat, which we will catch August 13th and 14th. Look forward to doing those shows, dripping in front of all of Western New York.
Oh, man, it's going
to
be hot.
Yeah.
You know what? The thing is, too, for those of you who watch us on MSG, you always know we wear this Bills gear. We have OBL gear. We have Buffalo Bills gear. I've got an OBL shirt on today. You've got a Bills shirt on. We just got a big basket today of training camp gear.
Yeah.
That
I haven't looked at it yet.
You talk about it goes way back to my playing days. There is no stuff like free stuff, and so you get all this Bill. Of course, you know it's hard. You can't wear it anywhere but work. But you can wear it around here, I guess. But even me, I'm not gonna wear Bill stuff. I mean, I look like a shill. But that's just so fun getting a bag of free shirts.
So you don't wear Bill stuff when you're not on the air, you say?
I do not
at all. Do you ever run into a problem? Because every once in a while I'll be, oh, shoot, the only clean thing I have is this Bills shirt. Got to wear it.
I got to tell you, I will wear it around the house.
Uh-huh.
There are certain Bills gear they give us that I won't wear in public. Not because it's bad gear, but it's not flattering, right? Like, the occasional T-shirt that runs small kind of thing. Well, I'm not the confident.
Not the man I once was.
Exactly. So I don't really sport that out and about. But I will do yard work in it.
Yeah.
Even if I got to pull the tags off. I'll do yard work in it. So I will do that, but that's not considered public, particularly given my yard that's in, I'm kind of secluded back in my place. So
So yesterday, I don't know how we got on this, I wore that MSG shirt because we're on MSG.
Yeah, yeah.
We're partners in MSG. And I went home and did yard work, planted some grass, cleaned off I was cleaning stuff, and I looked down about 5:30, and my black MSG shirt was just covered in dirt. And I thought, oh, that's why you don't wear this stuff. I don't know if I can wear it on the air anymore. That's how dirty it got.
Yeah.
So I get you.
What
a good show we have talking about this stuff. We got a good show.
And here's the thing, too. This year, there is only 8 shows from Rochester.
That's right.
Last year, I think the number was really only like 11 or 12.
Because
I think it was that last 3 days that we're going to be in Spartanburg.
One more week.
We would be there, but... Yeah, it's training camp in Rochester is going to go quick this year, really quick, I think.
It'll be over before we know it, and it starts a week from Thursday. Our first show is 12 noon on Thursday, August 25th, a week from this Thursday. We got a good show here today. We got a couple of things, a couple of guests. One of them, we talked to him yesterday, and it reinforces me. This guy, one of my all-time favorite Buffalo Bills, the Senator, George Wilson, is going to join us coming up today. We actually did the interview yesterday. George Wilson was here talking to members of the Rookie Club, first-year new Bills season ticket holders. They met here last night. George Wilson came in as part of the Bills Legends community group and spoke to that group and spoke to us. Just some great memories with George Wilson. Didn't play on great teams.
Right.
There was one good year under Chan when they started, 4-1 that year? Mm-hmm. But, man, what a great guy. What a great spokesman. What a fine example of a NFL player and a guy who, didn't have it easy, Steve. He was an undrafted free agent, went to Detroit, practice squad there, came to Buffalo on the practice squad. Big position switch. Just a great story to tell. George Wilson, one of my favorites. He'll be on the show with us today at about 1 o'clock.
He's one of the great stories and examples, like you said, of guys who made an NFL career out of whatever opportunity they got.
Yeah.
And made some huge decisions that took a massive amount of hard work to make come to fruition. And he turned it into a 10-year career for 2 different teams and is still well respected by both organizations. I mean, and he's just a great example for young people. Not everybody's going to be Tom Brady or LeSean McCoy or, Drew Brees or, Barry Sanders or Frank Gordon, one of these guys that are recognizable names. A lot of guys are, guys like George Wilson who are tremendous individuals who make a name for themselves and are respected within the halls of the NFL and it changes their life.
Yep.
And it's because of the person they are as much as it is their physical talent.
We have another guest on the show today who has kind of a similar path when you think about it. He is prominent in broadcasting the NFL now, works for the NFL Network. Brian Baldinger, who was an undrafted rookie free agent, came up with the Cowboys in 1982, undrafted out of Duke, Played for the Cowboys, the Colts, the Eagles. Had a cup of coffee here with the Buffalo Bills, now with the NFL Network. Got a lot of good observations about the Bills, including linebacker Tremaine Edmonds. He'll be joining us today at 2:15. Training camp, you were with Brian Baldinger, right? One of those years?
Yeah, we had him through the preseason and an offseason, too. They signed him early in the offseason, I believe, so he was hanging around. So we got to know him really well. He's a great guy.
Free agent. I've just looked it up. 1992. Signed by the Bills in April, released August 31st.
He was here for like 4 or 5 months. And obviously we spent some time together in the offseason because back then it was a little different than it is now. Guys, at that time, particularly in those Super Bowl teams, we were hanging around here and working out together and doing some things in the offseason together, working out, lifting, running, you know, having dinner, that kind of thing. So
yeah,
he became part of the family pretty quickly, even though he didn't make the team.
Undrafted rookie free agent, got 11 years out of his career. Those are, look, like you said, everybody knows the stories of the draft picks and the premium picks. There are a lot of good stories from the George Wilsons and Brian Baldingers, too, and what they do now to be around football. I love those kind of stories. I look forward to talking to Brian Baldinger about a variety of stuff today. Yeah.
He did a nice little quick snippet this morning about Tremaine Edmonds. He's very high on Tremaine Edmonds and the season he had last season for the Buffalo Bills, particularly the second half. But he showed highlights from throughout the year, even early in the season, where Tremaine Edmonds really caused problems. And he expects even bigger things from him this year, as do all of us Bills fans and the people who cover the team and watch Tremaine explode over the second half of the year. Brian Baldinger caught on to that, did some film study, and shows a lot of things that he thinks Tremaine Edmonds is going to improve upon.
So Brian Baldinger at 2:15, George Wilson around 1 o'clock. Those are our guests today. We want to hear a lot from you. We got a lot to talk about. We got thinking about this topic today, and it's not necessarily new, but it's kind of in the news because of a couple of things going on. Melvin Gordon, Chargers running back, right? Solid running back, really good running back, talented. He is going into his fifth season. He's talking about holding out from training camp unless he gets a new contract or a big raise. His salary calls for $5.6 million this year. So he's getting ready to hold out. Peter King wrote about it the other day about how Tom Telesco, the Western New Yorker, who's the GM of the Chargers, is not going to cave. Telesco, he says, comes from the Bill Polian camp, and we know how forceful and decisive Bill Polian was. I think Telesco's got a little bit of that. You got Melvin Gordon, $5.6 million, who is getting ready to hold out as a running back. You got Le'Veon Bell, who did hold out, right? And he turned down a $14.5 million offer from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's right.
And sat out last year.
He left $14 million bucks on the table.
He'll never get that
back.
He'll
never get it back.
You got Todd Gurley. The Rams paid him a guaranteed $45 million last year. They say no regrets, even with the injuries he's had. David Johnson got a new $13 million a year deal right before last season. Running back, look, the Bills have an expensive running back who is in a different category because of his age, and some people think that works against him. Where are running backs in terms of value for teams? I will say this, Steve. I know that different teams value running backs differently. I mean, clearly the Bills have put a premium with the money they're paying LeSean McCoy and the acquisition of Frank Gore, mm-hmm. and the draft pick, the third rounder for Singletary. They have put a bit of a premium on running backs, but I think overall in the NFL, and everybody knows this is the not new part, running backs are devalued. They're not the most valuable players on your roster. You can get by with a later round draft pick, maybe a street free agent at running back. Many teams are going to running back by committee these days, which I get. I understand why teams do that. But it gets you thinking about what are the most valuable positions out there. But clearly, running backs don't get the value that they did a couple of years ago, right? There's no question about that.
I think an NFL team is crazy to pay that kind of money for a running back when it has been proven time and time and time again. There are a ton of guys out there who would not be as big a production drop-off as they are in lesser salary.
Yeah.
The difference between a guy like James Conner in Pittsburgh and the $14 million Le'Veon Bell. James Conner rushed for more yards than Le'Veon Bell did his last season for the Steelers, running for the Steelers. So the drop-off was not significant. But you save over $10 million. I mean, it's crazy to pay that kind of money. Alvin Kamara, fifth-round draft pick. Just go down the list. There are guys everywhere who are not high draft picks who are cheap to get to work for you, young players who are unproven who come out and explode. It happens all over the league. There's no reason to think and I've heard people go on and on about how good Zeke Elliott is for the Dallas Cowboys. Listen, I get it. But they don't have a – I mean, Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys, their offense, it does run through Zeke. I'm not saying that Zeke's not a good player. I'm just saying there wouldn't be that big a drop-off if you plugged in another quality running back into Zeke Elliott's shoes. Certainly, Zeke Elliott does some special stuff. But you can't pay that guy $20 million when you could spend 18 of that million on five other players that are really good. I mean, it just makes no sense to me. There's not that many generational talents. Even Saquon Barkley, as good as he is, he's still on his rookie contract. He's playing for inexpensive. We'll see what the Giants do. The Giants may jump up and pay him, but I don't know. I just don't think it's a smart financial move. And Melvin Gordon can do what he wants. But let's face it, he's making $6.5-7 million this year on his rookie deal. So I don't know why you'd throw another $7 million on top of that when – you could get that kind of production for half of that money that they're paying him already. It's just crazy talk. And I know it doesn't say much for the quality of running backs. I'm not trying to be disrespectful with what they bring, but that position is easily replaced to me. It just is.
It is.
I know it's tough to hear for a running back, but man, oh man.
Our buddy Thurman would not want to hear this.
Saquon Barkley's making almost $8 million a year. You know, I mean, and he's on his rookie deal. Leonard Fournette, 6.7 a year average value. Zeke Elliott's making 6.2. And those guys, and that's LeSean McCoy, who's making 8. That's, I mean, they're right with LeSean McCoy. I mean, he's not out of the ball. Those guys are on their rookie deals.
Yeah. If the Chargers go without Melvin Gordon and he says he's going to hold out, they do have Austin Eckler, who had a pretty good couple of years, really, a free agent out of college a couple of years ago. 2017. They'll have to add somebody, no question about that, but how much of a drop-off will it be? And that's a question that you got to ask. That's a question that guys like Brandon Bean ask themselves every day. Like this guy. Love to have this guy. What's his value? Assigning value to positions is really, I think, the essence of what it means to be a general manager in the NFL. So we want you to play general manager a little bit today with us, Twitter poll-wise and telephone-wise. You can give us a call at 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can respond via Twitter at OneBillsLive. It's a simple question, but really think about it for a minute. Give it a little thought because it's an important question. As I said, really the essence, the central question maybe of being a general manager in the NFL after quarterback. We know that's the most valuable. They make the big money. Everybody knows the importance of quarterbacks. After quarterback, what is the most valuable position on the field in the NFL? You can vote via Twitter. You can vote when call us up. Tell us why. We'll use your responses on the air. We might read your tweets on the air. After quarterback, the most valuable position in the NFL, we offer a couple of choices. Is it cornerback? Many people believe it is. A lockdown corner. Is it pass rusher? Is it an offensive tackle? Used to be said that a left tackle was the next most important guy. Somebody else we're missing. What do you think? On the Twitter poll, 42% of you say it's pass rusher. 35% of you say offensive tackle. 18% say cornerback. And 5% have something else in mind. That's what Twitter says. What do you say? Phone line's open. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. After quarterback, what do you need the most? What's the most valuable position in the NFL? What would you say, Steve?
I would say cornerback.
Would you?
Yeah, from all the stuff we've been talking about this offseason, it kind of has switched my thinking. I don't know. I've also been a huge fan of offensive linemen. I don't think there's any one offensive lineman who's that important because if you've got five good ones or average ones, you can play football with them. Certainly, you don't want bad offensive linemen. You want good ones. But I think if you can find five guys who are adequate, you can win games with those. And you look around the league, edge rushers, they're too easily contained. They're too easily combated. You can double team those guys. You can chip block them. You can put them into coverage with your formation and motion. You can do a lot of things with an edge rusher. Plus, if you've got an athletic quarterback, he may just make the guy miss. The guy that needs to be great on your team, other than your quarterback, is the corner. You need a lockdown corner on the outside. They are really hard to find. We've got a really good one in Tre'Davious White. And you know what? There's and as good as people here in Buffalo think he is, and they're right, there are a lot of people around the league that think he's, you know, he's top five maybe. There's like three or four guys that are even better than Tre'Davious. Those guys are like Steph Gilmore in New England, had a phenomenal year. You look over the past couple of Super Bowls that the Patriots have won, they had Darrell Revis as a lockdown corner, and they had Steph Gilmore as a lockdown corner. You can look at all the other things they had in place that are the same or whatever, but the things that changed was between those two guys, they didn't, and they couldn't win it. Now, they had Steph Gilmore for a couple of them, and they didn't win it. Two of them, and they didn't win it. But when the Patriots have won Super Bowls, they've had a lockdown corner, not an edge rusher. They've had the quarterback. They've had a pretty good offensive line. They had all those guys, but they didn't have an edge rusher. They had lockdown corners. I think lockdown corners are more important than edge rushers these days. And certainly, and I think for offensive linemen, I think that's your second most important – that's your most important position group on the field because there's so many of them on the field at once.
I would go with pass rusher, and I don't necessarily have to say edge rusher. I mean, you can get good pass rushers on the inside. I think the Bills are hoping that Adam Oliver becomes a good pass rusher on the inside from, you know, defensive tackle position. But I would say, yes, corner is important. It's a very close second. But I would say pass rusher would be my most important because what you have to do in the NFL nowadays is throw the ball and prevent the other guy from throwing the ball. And if you can create pressure, wherever it comes from, outside, inside, blitzing if you have to, scheme-wise, you know, manufacturing pressure, if you can create pressure, you can disrupt your opponent's passing game. To me, that would be number two. But let's hear from you, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. You go to SpotTrack. You know SpotTrack, right? Our buddy yep. Mike Giannitti, Orchard Park, who does all kinds of NFL salary analysis. When he does average salary for position groups, the number one average salary is, what do you think, Steve? Guess. Number one position group.
Quarterback.
Number one position for average salary. You would say
quarterback.
Yeah. I would have said quarterback. You know what it is? Left tackle. $8 million average. Now, the average is out of whack a little bit because of some recent contracts. Taylor Lewan with a contract. Some of the others, Nate Solder with the Giants, you know, a couple of years ago, an average salary of $15 million. It's out of whack, but left tackle average over the league is about $8 million. So that is, I think, a little bit deceptive. I don't, you know, some people are going to say offensive line is where you go with, you know, your next most important. I would say quarterback, obviously, is a clear number one, but left tackle averages $8.3 million throughout the league, which is pretty amazing. Right tackle, by the way, averages $3.6 million. Those are two of the highest. We talked about running backs. The average salary for running backs in the league, $1.3 million, according to SpotTrack. Wide receivers is high. The average wide receiver contract in the NFL, $1.9 million. Tight end, $1.5 million. Offensive line in general, $2.4 million. But we said the tackles with left tackles leading the way. Guards, the average, $2.1 million. I think you'll hear people say, and they've said it on this show, guards are becoming just as important in a pass rush standpoint as tackles are these days.
I agree. And that's and really it's because teams are starting to get interior pressure. And you've started to be so diversified in your running game as you're going to have guards who have to get to the second level or pull and get outside. So they got to be – not only they got to be these physically gifted, genetically different guys, they got to be enormous guys. They've got to be fast enough and athletic enough to get out and run and get out and get their hat on somebody. So they've got to be really good coordinated athletes and big, strong, huge guys that big that are that coordinated – they're hard to find.
Yep.
I mean, they don't exist. It's like 1% of 1% of the population. You got to find them, and so that you know they're hard to replace. They're hard to find. That's why some teams get stuck with bad offensive lines. There just aren't enough of them to go around.
Defense. Who's making the money on defense? According to SpotTrack, defensive ends average salary in the NFL $2.6 million. Defensive tackles, $1.9 million. Not that much difference, but significant. Outside linebacker, $2.4 million. Inside linebacker, just about $2.5 million. That's significant. Edge rush guy, $2.5 million. Cornerbacks, $2.1 million. Safety, free safety. And again, these are out of whack because of certain contracts, but let's do safeties in general, $1.7 million. The numbers, the SpotTrack numbers are obviously impacted by recent contract extensions for the most part, right? Mm-hmm. But we're asking you to make a determination because we know what happens. Teams have a guy who hits free agency. Oh, we need this guy. Going to have to pay him, and that's why those averages are what they are. But you can make a determination in your mind with a clean slate, without any veterans to worry about, without any re-signings to worry about. What would you do? Where would you put your money? What's the after quarterback, what's the most important position group in the NFL? You can vote on Twitter. You can give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Already have about 230 votes in on Twitter, and 42% say pass rusher, which is where I would go. 35% say offensive tackle, which is not where I would go. 18% cornerback, which I would make very important, much more important than offensive tackles. 5% have something else in mind. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Get to the tweets in a moment. Let's take a call from Rich in Orchard Park. Hello, Rich. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
I agree of the importance of pass rush. However, I believe that you can generate an effective pass rush via schematic and personnel fit, similar with how I feel about the secondary in general. Of course, it helps to have elite players in those pools. However, if I was playing GM and I had to pinpoint a specific position, I would say either middle linebacker on defense or the center on your offensive line. Those players are often making adjustments at the line. The middle linebacker is getting the call typically from the coaches. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, the centers are often, you know, just using their own experience to dictate, sliding protections and whatnot.
Hey Rich, here's the thing about middle linebacker, and I want to hear your thoughts on this. We don't have it here, but on many NFL teams, middle linebacker is a two-down player. You got Tremaine playing three downs here, but he's kind of an unusual cat because he plays three downs. I mean, off the top of my head, I would say maybe less than half. Am I crazy? Less than half middle linebackers in the NFL are probably three-down players.
They become a situational player, and I don't know how. And I get it, too. You're right. One of the part of the reason that's pro football and it is so it gets so sophisticated is because you have guys in the middle of the defense who can scream and yell and communicate the concepts that the defense or the offense are trying to run, most particularly, as you mentioned, the center on offense and the middle linebacker on defense, and also the middle linebacker and the safeties who have to be in concert with one another. That is an important aspect of that job that those guys do, although one of the other aspects of it, how important can the guy be when he's standing next to the defensive coordinator on the sideline on third and long or third and short or third and medium on a passing down? So you're right. Those guys are hard. And let's face it, you can go out and say, anecdotally, you can pick one guy out of every position group who has made himself in his career like an Ed Reed or Eric Weddle, just like a Ray Lewis or an Aaron Donald, one of these guys that are singular players.
They become indispensable.
Yeah, they're indispensable to their teams, and they can play whatever position they are. I think, examples of that are everywhere of one guy doing his job better than anyone or differently than anyone else has ever done. We're talking in general, speaking around the National Football League, and I think it's a hard argument to make for middle linebacker being that important. Certainly in some schemes he has to be or can be, but generally speaking, I don't know if you can make that statement.
It's a good point, though. We'll talk more about it after quarterback. What's the most important, most valuable position on an NFL roster in general? And yes, as Steve pointed out, teams get these players, get these individuals who are so good and so exceptional that they have to play with them and pay them. But what do you think? After quarterback, what position is the most valuable in the NFL? Give us a call to discuss, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-552-550. We'll read some tweets. We'll go to the tweet sheet when we return. We're just getting kicked off here. Thanks for joining us. John Murphy with Steve Tasker. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
For some reason, yeah, there's a couple of different conversations going on.
Yeah.
There's high energy in the other room today in our control room, mm-hmm. and I like it. Let's see if we can keep that going. We should be able to.
Here's the thing about running backs. They're not going to win the argument that they're not easily replaced. Am I right?
Well, you know, again.
In general.
We need Thurman to weigh
in. In general.
I'm begging for Thurman to call. Because he would.
Thurman's a great example. Yeah. So's LeSean McCoy. And Frank Gore could make this game. He's a 14-year guy. But LeSean McCoy is a different cat than Zeke Elliott.
Yeah.
I mean, LeSean McCoy can catch it. He's great in space. And a lot of his touches are in space because that's the way that offense is designed, to get him some room to run, get him out of the backfield, and then throw it to him. Zeke Elliott, you got to walk back there and give it to him, and then he's got to find his way around the violence. It's going to find him. He's getting beat up. Same thing, and we had this thing about Le'Veon Bell, was with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And in a word, the offensive line, when he was with the Steelers, and still is, it is dominant. The Steelers' offensive line is dominant. The Jets, maybe not so much. And there was also a year, a couple of years ago, when Le'Veon Bell had like 90 catches with the Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger can sling it. He is a really good throwing quarterback and always has been. He burst onto the scene when he got a chance to start due to injury, and all of a sudden, you know, this team is tough for an entire 14, 16-year career of Ben Roethlisberger, whatever it's been. Now Le'Veon Bell's going to go with an offensive line that's not dominant. Maybe it's good. Maybe the Jet line's going to be good, but it's not going to be dominant like the Steelers line. You think Sam Darnold, you and I both like Sam Darnold. He's a good quarterback, and he's going to have a long, seemingly,
sure.
He's got a good future in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
Maybe even a star. He's not Ben Roethlisberger yet. And he's not going to be Ben Roethlisberger even when he becomes his best. He's going to be different. So Le'Veon Bell's going to be plunked into the middle of this offense with a different kind of quarterback and a completely different offensive line. And he's going to have to earn, what, $30 million guaranteed over the next whatever? I don't know if he can get it done.
Right.
How do you earn that now?
Right. And, Steve, let's be honest. People are making that argument about LeSean McCoy, who's, again, comes from a different background to these guys. He has demonstrated. I mean, he is among, you know, the top running backs of all time, yardage production-wise. But they make the same argument. You know, what is he, $8.5 million, $9 million this year for the Bills?
He's $8 million. He is the sixth highest paid running back in the league, his cap number.
So the argument would be, well, how do you justify that? You know, based on his production last year, it's a legitimate question. I think you and I anticipate he will bounce back strong this year, and I do believe he has a lot, some more to offer the Bills this year. But that's a lot of money. It's a big chunk of your salary cap for one guy.
I mean, it's not a big percentage of your salary cap, but it's a big number. $8 million. It's just barely. It's $10,000 over $8 million. $10,000 is his cap number, his average year, and. Here's the reason why I tend to project, and all of us are trying to tell the future, and none of us have a shot at doing it accurately, but here's what I project. LeSean McCoy is a guy, like I said, gets the ball in some space. You'll see him get tackled and run out of bounds. He has the great ability to avoid big hits. Zeke Elliott, on the other hand, as a reverse, seems to seek contact. He's like an Earl Campbell type of back, a guy who beats it up. He's a battering ram. The physicality comes to Zeke Elliott. LeSean McCoy, the violence has a hard time finding him, and that's why he's been able to last for double-digit years in the league. That's why he's got 11,000 rushing yards and even more all-purpose yards. So you tend to think, okay, he's going to have a little bit longer at the end of his career. Plus, we all know the precipitous drop-off of the ability of the offensive line to protect Josh Allen, to run in the running game. When LeSean McCoy gets the ball, he's already avoiding somebody before he takes a step. There was a lot of problems up front last year. And LeSean McCoy is a little bit of a victim of it. And you got to take that into account when you're evaluating his individual performance and the people around him. That's why we're talking about Le'Veon Bell in New York. It's going to be different than Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
it's all trying to tell the future. But, man, oh, man, we've all seen enough football to understand it looks like that. Like it's all going to happen that way.
Hey, so what do you think as you build your roster, your ideal roster, after quarterback – What position group, I guess, is the most important on the field, the most valuable in the NFL? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. Antonio in Buffalo, we'll hear from you. Go ahead, Antonio, you're on the air.
Hello, John. Hi, Steve. I believe that I'm nervous.
Don't be nervous.
Yeah.
Go ahead, man. You're all right.
Okay. Well, it shouldn't be the quarterback that should be getting first. The first thing should be gotten is the offensive line. If you have a good offensive line and you have a subpar quarterback, I believe that you can at least go to the playoffs. I believe that's what Pittsburgh was doing back in the day when the Bills were going to the Super Bowls. They didn't have a legitimate quarterback, but they had a good offensive line, a good defense, and a good running back.
You're saying what when the Bills went to the Super Bowl? They didn't. They had what?
The Steelers. He said.
Oh, the Steelers.
So you're saying offensive line is more valuable than the quarterback, Antonio?
I believe they run around neck and neck.
Yeah, I see. I mean, you're telling me a great dominant offensive line is harder to find than an elite quarterback. And I don't know.
Because it's five guys that you have to look for.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. I understand. And it's an interesting point. I don't know that I buy it completely. Certainly you can have a mediocre quarterback or a fair to midland quarterback, or maybe an above-average quarterback behind a dominant offensive line, like the Dallas Cowboys did 3 years ago with Zeke Elliott, a rookie running back, and Dak Prescott, a rookie quarterback. They went 12-4 behind an offensive line that was one of the all-time greats. So that's kind of plays into your point, I think, Antonio. And maybe you can make that argument, but if you're going to take five guys, yeah, there probably are more important than a corner or an edge rusher, but that's five guys that you're trying to replace. And I don't know if it's that easy to do. So for the purposes of the poll, I don't know if you want to say offensive line, that's half your offense. That's five of the 11 guys. So, yeah, okay, I can listen to it, but
I listened and I didn't like it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Thank you for calling, though, Antonio. Let's take a look at the tweet sheet, Steve. You got some tweets. The tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. What do you got on the tweet
sheet? Starts from Tiffany. She is, having an elite corner who can shut down a whole side of the field is priceless. When a wide receiver cannot get open, it forces the quarterback to hold on to the ball and gives the pass rush the advantage. These guys are hard to find. I feel Trey White is on the cusp of becoming an elite corner.
As usual, Tiffany is well-reasoned, well-thought out. And I agree with you about Trey White on the cusp of becoming an elite corner. You know who's elite right now? And former Buffalo Bill Stephon Gilmore. He means so much to the Patriots defense. And there are not a lot of stars on New England's defense. He is the predominant star and I think the most important player on that defense, because he does exactly what Tiffany says he does, shuts down the whole side of the field. I think Gilmore is really good. I know it's a bitter pill to swallow. Look, the Bills wanted to pay less at corner. That's why he got away. Stephon wanted to go somewhere and play championship football, and that's why he went away. But I think he's really good, and I think he's maybe the best example of what a cornerback, an elite-level cornerback, can mean to a defense.
Yeah, in the current NFL, he's one of them, no question about it. He does what the Patriots need him to do. And the thought is, and it's obvious, but I'll say it anyway, the thought is, yeah, an edge rusher is great. You get in the quarterback, and the quarterback can't throw it or whatever, or he has to throw it quick. And the simply put, in the NFL today, offenses are built to have options for the quarterback right away. So he can throw it fast before even the best elite edge rusher or interior rusher can get there, unless somebody completely blows it. Certainly that happens once in a while. But as a general rule, the ball comes out very quickly in the NFL, so it's becoming less and less probable or even conceivable that you can get a sack as quick as the ball is supposed to come out. Certainly you can knock it down or bat it down, which is, you know, the rush should get credit for as well. But the simple fact of the matter is this: there's really not too many teams. Back in the old days, you take a seven-step drop. You're dropping 7 or 8 yards deep. Quarterback then hits his back foot, takes one hitch step up, and the ball's out of there. That doesn't happen very much anymore. It's a three-step or a five-step drop or a shotgun snap, and the ball is out before the rush can get there, which means this. You need somebody on the outside that's on those receivers. When the quarterback wants to throw it, there's just no place to go. So then he has to come over, read the defense, and start finding other options in the offense or in the secondary. And if you've got coverage all over the field, then all of a sudden the pass rush can get there. So, and particularly today when the quarterbacks are protected and they can run around everywhere, Ben Roethlisberger went to two Super Bowls and won one by pushing, like just throwing the pressure off of himself and making plays off the page. So that kind of negates the pass rush's ability to affect a game the way it does for a normal quarterback or any of these quarterbacks that don't have or that do have escapability, which a lot of them do these days. So I'm a big proponent of having an edge guy, an outside corner who can shut down receivers. If you've got a bunch of them who can really cover guys up, hey, your pass rush is going to have an easy day because the quarterback can't find anybody to throw to. That's I think that you know I've talked in circles about it about 20 times. And that's where I keep coming back to. I think at this point, the coverage is better to have.
Corners are important. Look, I would put pass rusher as my second most important, but cornerback is right there next to him, just barely in second place. One more from the tweet sheet from Josh. We asked the question, after quarterback, what's the most valuable position in the NFL? Cornerback, pass rusher, offensive tackle. Josh responds, all three are extremely valuable to a team, but I feel it is imperative to be exceptional at offensive tackle with a young quarterback when it comes to development. It helps. Is it imperative? Debatable, I think. In other words, you want to be good at offensive tackle. But I think you can get – I think guards are important too, and there's a couple of people on the phone have pointed out centers are important too now. The offensive line play has changed. In the old days when you needed a great left tackle, I don't know that – you know, you need a good right tackle too. You need a good offensive line. I don't know if it's imperative to be exceptional at offensive tackle, though. I might dispute that.
And Josh is making a point, too, and I think – and I guess the people who listen to us are doing this. We're kind of taking this as a general football question. He's pointing it straight towards the Buffalo Bills. Certainly with a young quarterback, you want to protect him. That's what the Bills have spent all this offseason doing is getting offensive linemen together, drafting them, signing them in free agency, signing new guys, and kind of washing through the entire offensive line because they have a young quarterback who needs a better running game and needs more pass protection. So, yeah, in the Buffalo Bills' frame of mind, that's one of the things they had to get fixed. But they already had Tre'Davious White. They already got Jerry Hughes. They already got those other pieces that we've been talking about. They've got Deion Dawkins. They've got guys like the guys we're talking about, these positional players in place. The one they didn't have was this big, huge offensive line for a young quarterback. But you talk generally speaking, not all these teams have young quarterbacks that are trying to develop. Some of them have got Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, Andy Dalton. You can go down the list, and as good whether you think they're good or bad, at least they're established. Russell Wilson, Joe Flacco. They've got these guys that are established. They're not trying to develop them. They're trying to build a team around them. And I think most of these teams will go, they'll think, okay, if we have an average offensive line with an above-average quarterback or an elite quarterback, and we've got these other pieces in place, we're going to win more games than if we start just loading up on the offensive side of the ball and turn into the Kansas City Chiefs that can't stop anybody.
Our discussion today, after quarterback, which position is most valuable in the NFL? Give us a call. We'll get back to this in a moment. 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Send in a tweet. We might read it on the tweet sheet. We are about 9 days away from the start of training camp, about 2.5 weeks away from the Bills with an open practice here at New Era Field. The return of the blue and the red. The open night practice is coming up Friday, August 2nd, 6:15 p.m. Gates open at 5:15 p.m. Interactive games, photo ops, much more, including practice. If you can't get to Rochester, you can see the Bills right here at New Era Field. It's presented by Bud Light. The return of the blue and the red, the night practice. Tickets available. You have to go to locations to get the code, redeemable for mobile tickets only, for the return of the blue and the red, the Bills night practice. The locations, top friendly markets in Rochester, Buffalo, 7-Eleven, Southwestern Boulevard, Crosby's and Clarence, Sunoco, A+, Main Street in Williamville. That's where you get the code. You can redeem that for mobile tickets. The return of the blue and the red, 2.5 weeks away. The Bills night practice, Friday, August 2nd at New Era Field. Steve and I coming back with more. One Bills Drive from One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health on Buffalo Bills Radio.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Sister. He can't live their lives for him.
Welcome back to One Girl's Life. Once again, the off-air discussion. Sometimes,
listen. Don't let friends drive drunk, and friends don't let their friends get ranch dressing with their wings.
She didn't do that.
It's an atrocity.
She didn't get wings. Welcome back to the show.
You didn't even buy wings. What are you doing?
Don't do that. Welcome back to the show. It is John Murphy, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. We've got a couple of good guests coming up. George Wilson, the senator, one of my favorite players all time, was here yesterday. We sat down with him yesterday. We worked a little OT yesterday. We'll make up for it.
Oh, yeah.
And did a nice interview with George Wilson. He's coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, 2 o'clock hour. Brian Baldinger, another former Buffalo Bill, now a prominent member of the NFL Network staff, does a ton of film breakdown stuff, has a lot to say about the Bills, including Tremaine Edmonds. We'll talk with him. Our topic, after quarterback, what position is the most valuable? We got onto this looking at the contract issues with Melvin Gordon and a couple of others. So what is the most valuable position on the roster? What do you think? Call here from Chad in South Buffalo. Hello, Chad. Go ahead.
How you doing, guys? First off, just wanted to say love the show. Big fan of both of yous. I think back to when the Bills drafted Mike Williams, and that was supposed to lock up our offense and protect Drew. So, and obviously that went horribly awry. But I think center is the most important position, because if you have a center, for example, like Eric Wood, he almost held that whole offensive line together. Not only that, but I think it adds a certain comfortability for the quarterback. You know, not to mention just communicating with everybody or the offensive line, and then giving the quarterback the comfortability, you know, to not worry about protection as much and worry about assignments with the receivers.
Good point. Here's why I think it's a good point. I want to get Steve in on this too. If you get the right center, and the Bills had it with Ken Hull, had it with Eric Wood, maybe they have it here now with Mitch Morse. If you get the right center, you can put a lot on his shoulders mentally. He can be a tremendous asset for your quarterback, which is what you were talking about, Chad. If you get a mediocre center, maybe not so much. So is it the most important next to a quarterback? I don't know about that, but it's important, Steve. It's important because of the close proximity they have physically and mentally with the quarterback. It's important because they need to have a full understanding of what you're trying to do offensively, maybe more than anybody except the quarterback on offense.
Yeah, and there's no question that, you know, we've seen, and we made this point earlier, that you know, we've seen individuals in different spots all over the field, and maybe at every position. I don't want to go through the whole history of the National Football League, but there's been a guy who's played any position in the league who has been indispensable to his team. Certainly, Ken Hull's a great example of how much an unbelievable center can help an offense in its totality. For one thing, a guy like Ken Hull could make sure whatever happens, nobody running free. Unless we've got six blocking and they send seven, or we've got five and they send six, nobody's running free unless they send one extra guy. We're always going to have a hat on a hat.
Yeah.
You know,
I just had an image of Monday Night Football in Kansas City a couple times. Guys are running free that
right.
night.
Right. You don't, that doesn't happen, yeah. Right? It just, you get the right guy and he just makes sure that guys know what they're doing. It makes more mediocre players around him at least more competent. And then, of course, there's always the relationship, as the caller said, Chad said, having the relationship with the quarterback, particularly a young quarterback, or even any quarterback, even when we had a quarterback that was a world beater, you know, that trust factor where the center and incidentally Kent Hull would just turn around to the quarterback and wave him off.
Yeah.
Say, I don't want to run, don't run that play.
Yeah.
Because he knew what he was looking at up front. And said, listen, if he runs that play, we're cooked. Don't run that play. And the quarterback trusted him enough to say, okay, I'll run a different one.
You were on the field. How did that go? Would Hull just be able to turn around and say no? I mean, what would it sound like?
Oh, yeah. He wouldn't say no or anything. He'd turn around and
wouldn't he have to
when
say
he'd drop his butt, So it'd come away from Jim's hands, and Jim would say, "What are you doing?" He'd look down and say, "What's going on?" And Kent would look at him and just, he wouldn't say anything. He'd just shake his head. and Jim, it would happen real quick too. Jim would just slap it in, on the butt and say, "I got you." And he would switch the play. He'd switch the play. He never hesitated to trust Kent.
And how often, how many times a game would that happen?
I don't know.
Once?
Maybe.
Every other game, something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah. It would happen once. Not even that often. But certainly when it did, it mean Jim, he wasn't seeing it right.
Yeah.
You know? And plus sometimes it was like we normally would run it, but because it's like two guys invert or switch positions, and Kent's like, "Oh, now, wait a minute." And he calls that play and says, "Well, no, we can't run that against that." You know, that kind of thing. So it would look, the front would look the same, except people would be switched or switch positions, and it would be a matchup issue. And then Kent would say, wait, let's do something different, just to make it easy so they had a call for it. So all of that stuff was in the mix. But the trust and the relationship has to be there because, you know, you're on a play clock, and you got to get it right. But there's no question, getting back to the point that the caller made, we've all seen transcendent players at every position in the NFL. Sometimes it's hard to pick out a guard, you know, for all of us. We watch the football and all of that, and you don't look down inside an interior line play. But certainly there have been players that have been transcendent in every position, both offensively and defensively. And what our question is today is, you know, after the quarterback, what position is the most valuable in the NFL? And I think this is generally speaking.
Oh, yeah.
And in Buffalo, we can, people of our generation can look back at Ken Hall and say, "Wow, that was the most, you know, that's way better than, you know, more important than what our left tackle was at that point." You know, that kind of thing.
That left tackle was pretty good too.
Yeah, it was. We had some of those too.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the point. And I think generally speaking, you can make an argument for, to me, center and either tackle, you know, on the offensive line. And these days, maybe even the guard.
Yeah.
If you're in the NFC West, you got Aaron Donald, you need a guy.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So that's why we're talking about it. We will continue the discussion after quarterback. Which position is the most valuable in the NFL? We'll take a look at the results on the Twitter poll coming up in the next hour or so. Plus, George Wilson played a pretty important role for the Bills, playing safety for the Bills during his NFL career. George Wilson's going to stop by the studio when we come back. Come on back with us. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, just getting going. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.